Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
60% of top distributors run on Epicor Profit 21. It's ERP built for distribution, enhanced with agentic AI that doesn't just inform, but acts. Optimizing inventory, streamlining purchasing, and making every day easier. Don't play catch up. Visit epicor.com/win.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
All right, so today is October 16th. The end of our raffle for Burt's Big Adventure is October 22nd. So we're getting to the point where you guys start listening to what we're saying.
Yeah.
Because whenever we tell you to buy raffle tickets early, you don't do it. And then surely in the week leading up to it, that's when we make most of our money on this raffle. And it's a big one this year.
Yeah, procrastinator recognizes procrastinator. I am a notorious procrastinator, always have been, and so I get it. Like, you got a lot of stuff on your to-do list, and probably down at the bottom is purchase a raffle ticket to support Burt's Big Adventure so you can drive off in a brand new 2025 Audi Q3. But you do only have till, like Burt said, October 22nd. But Burt's Big Adventure, our nonprofit, we take kids with chronic and terminal illness to Disney World, and it's just expanded into this beautiful community of parents, families with children that have special needs. You can purchase a $100 raffle ticket and potentially win a 2025 Audi Q3 courtesy of Audi Atlanta.
And again, this is, for those of you that don't know, Burt's Big Adventure is going to continue on.
The
Burt Show is turning the lights off on October 24th. But Burt's Big Adventure goes on, and Q99.7 has been cool enough to say, hey, if you want to keep promoting it on the radio station, for sure. When you go down to Disney World, you can do the shows from down there. That's great. But the truth of the matter is, we can't be in your face every single day reminding you about Burt's Big Adventure anymore. So this is kind of our final push right here.
Yeah, we can't be fully annoying. We can only be mildly annoying, right, from social media.
So yeah, it's a brand new 2025 Audi Q3. Every single dollar of that, every single cent of that goes to Burt's Big Adventure, the trip we take down to Disney World every year with kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses. And you can get your raffle tickets up until October 22nd at burtsbigadventure.org. All right, Tommy, you want to dig into Sanjay? Sanjay is so in trouble. Busted.
Well,
oh, Sanjay, you are busted.
This is not Sanjay's fault, because I'm looking back at my text. I started with a text directly to Dr. Gupta, and nowhere in that did I mention that this was supposed to be a surprise, because after I emailed him, Sanjay said, hey, can you reach out to my people? And I reached out to his people, and I'm not sure if I mentioned to them or not, because I'm reaching out to a ton of people. I think I did, but it's either my fault or their fault. I'm going to blame it on me.
Well, that you're singing a very different tune than you were when you were just in studio.
Yep. I mean,
yes, you were like, I told them.
Right. It's my fault.
I don't know what they're talking about, Sanjay.
I am notorious for ruining surprises.
I am.
I don't love surprises. Surprises for my wife and my daughters over the years, and they always sound good conceptually, but they are really hard to pull off, and then you never know how the person's going to react. You know, there's a sort of Hollywood sort of, you know, response to a surprise, and it never seems to work out that way. So apologies. My God.
I feel like this is, maybe this is stereotypical, but I feel like of neurosurgeons, of doctors, like, you're not really into surprises. It's very like practical. I got a job to do, you know, like save a life.
Like the last time, like the last place you need a surprise is in an operating room.
Right.
That's true. That is absolutely true. We are trying to avoid those at all costs. No, but I like to be prepared. So I personally.
Tommy, we're going to need to reconnect.
Yeah. Hey, Sanjay, we're going to give you a call right back, just because, and we don't even know what corner of the world he's in. He could be anywhere.
Uh-huh.
But the connection is really bad, so Tommy's going to give you a call right back. There's another surprise.
Surprise! Cell service is bad.
So before we came out, I didn't want to like insult Sanjay, but Abby didn't know who Sanjay Gupta was, because probably doesn't watch CNN all the time, but he's the chief medical correspondent on CNN. He's just like the go-to, what would you say,
He was our go-to medical correspondent on the Burt Show. So anytime, anything, like especially during COVID, we would talk to Sanjay. And he has this way, too, of delivering information in such a calming manner. Like, it was never, like, fear. It was never fear-mongering. It was always like, hey, here's the facts. Here's what you need to be wary of and aware of. And I think it was just his delivery and just an overall, like, good dude.
So you're saying we're basically CNN?
Totes my goats.
I don't know that I would embrace that right now. but we got friendly with Sanjay, and it was always, I mean, it's huge. I mean, he's really like the smartest man in the world and so credible in this area that when he would join us, also on CNN, when you're doing TV, you have to have like certain credibility. And then when Sanjay comes on here and he lets his hair down, you're like, oh my God, he's a really fun dude. And I think, Sanjay, you and I first met at the U2 show, right?
Yes, we did, and that's a favorite family story, that first time we met. I don't know if you ever heard the aftermath. So we're at the U2 show. We were very lucky enough to spend some time with the band, and you had my wife, Rebecca, take a picture of you with Bono, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, so which was great, and we met you, and we're all flying high. And then you said something about it on the show the next day, and then Rebecca and I were at a store, and I was buying something. I gave my credit card, and the woman says to me, you know, that she looks at the credit card, and this happens sometimes because they recognize your name. She looks at the credit card and looks up at me, and she goes, is your wife the one who took the picture of Bert at the YouTube?
So random.
I was like, my God, you got it out there. Rebecca felt so famous for a day, thanks to you.
Even though she was just hanging with Bono, it was an incredible night.
Bono.
Yeah, my ex-wife is a huge YouTube fan, and we pulled as many strings as I could to get her backstage to meet them. And there's Sanjay and his wife, and we're hanging out with them, and it was just like this surreal kind of night that I will never, ever forget. And then you and I started exchanging like text messages, and then we met in Folly Beach and had a couple of drinks also, man. So it's been a nice relationship, man.
Yeah, no, I really, really enjoy our relationship, Bert, and enjoyed being friends with you, and really hope, you know, I was devastated to hear, I understand it, but devastated to hear that the show's going away, but hope that we can maintain our friendship, man.
Really. Yeah,
means a lot to me.
Now we've got more time. The retirement thing here is it's so funny for me to like be retiring from just radio. When you do what you do consistently, how you do it all these years. I mean, you talk about real stress and real anxiety.
Like people's lives in the palm of your hands.
Yeah, in the palm of your hands, man. Like every single day, do you think like, okay, there's going to be a day here where I'm not going to be a neurosurgeon anymore and I'm just going to be a guy that wants to play cornhole with his friends?
Yeah, you know, I do think about retirement more. You know, I'm in my mid-50s, so I got, you know, some time. I got friends of mine who are in their early 60s that are starting to retire from neurosurgery. It's tough. I mean, I love it. There is a stress level to it. I'll tell you what's weird, you know, as I sent kids off to college now and the house has gotten a little quieter. It's not that I desire stress, but I think when you don't have it, this may sound weird, but you do miss it a little bit. You know, there's just stuff that just gets the adrenaline going, and I'm not an adrenaline junkie, thump on your chest kind of guy, but I think, I think I need it to some extent to not only for the neurosurgery part of my life, but just in general, personality wise. So it's going to be a tough sort of transition, I think, at that point. I'll have to figure that out. But, you know, my dad retired around 57, and I was worried about him. I thought, does he have enough other things in his life? And he's doing great. You know, he's in his early 80s now. And somehow over the last 25 years, he has had a lot of fun and made a great life. So, you know, it's tough to consider. And I think retirement's very different now than it was when, you know, our parents were that age. So we'll see. We'll see.
Well, you'll be able to lean on your good friend Bert because he's about to go on a like a healing introspective trip to Sedona to figure out who the heck he is.
Well, that's got to be a thing for you too. Like at some point or another, I mean, isn't your identity? Maybe I've just done a worse job of this than you have, but I feel like most of my identity is wrapped up in being Bert Schobert.
And what you are or what you do rather than who you are.
Yeah, exactly. And do you struggle with that at all?
Well, first of all, I think for you, if I can, you know, is that a bad thing? I feel like sometimes people say, you know, the work life and I want the separation. I don't want to be identified by my work, but you love what you do. So if you love what you do, you know, the old adage is if you love what you do, you never have to work another day in your life. I feel like you are the, I mean, obviously you are the Bert Show, but that is when I meet with you and spend time with you, it's not like I get a different Bert, right? It's the same thing. And I think it's the same thing for me. I've always felt like work and I never tried to put up walls between my work and my personal life. Mm-hmm. You know, I let that be blurry and, you know, my kids will come at the hospital now. Sometimes my kids would come to the hospital with me and make rounds and, you know, instead of saying, oh, dad's going off to work and, you know, I'll be back in a few hours, just come along for the ride. You know, they go on trips with me sometimes. So, I think I would miss the sort of interactions with people, mm-hmm. you know, the regular interaction with people, obviously patients, things like that. So I get a lot of gratification out of that. I don't know that I want to work every day of my life. You know, I do want to have fun, but I think I'd have to learn how to have fun a little bit mm-hmm. because that hasn't been a huge part of my life.
Oh, well, I'm good at that.
Yeah.
I'll teach you that.
Okay, I'll call you.
You need to hang out with Bert more. I do appreciate you saying that, Sanjay, because like, I was grappling with that and I was like, radio is what I do. It's not who I am, but I love what I do. And so I do feel like radio is a part of who I am, and that's okay.
I told these guys very honestly yesterday that I don't love this as much as I used to, and it's one of the reasons why it's a little bit easier for me to walk away. Mm. As a neurosurgeon, you don't have that. You have to love what you do. You can't come in there and go, man, I just don't feel like working on brains today. You kind of have to.
You do for sure. I think it changes though over time. I mean, you know, I've been doing this for so long. I think, you know, the idea of the sort of stress of the beginning part of your career when there's a lot of things that are still new and, you know, you're doing some operations for the first time. I've done it so many times now that where I focus a lot of my attention obviously is on the operations, but I'm teaching residents, I'm teaching medical students, and those sorts of relationships I think are some of the best and most important in my life. You know, I realize, you know, there's 120 or so neurosurgeons that are trained every year in the United States. And so, you know, it feels important in that regard, but these are just incredible people, you know, and you know, you have these, sometimes you're operating, you'd be doing an operation for 6-7 hours and you're just across the table from each other, both looking under the microscope, and you're obviously doing the operation, but you're also talking about life and you're understanding, you know, their perspectives on things. So, you know, I think you have to find that. Like, I wouldn't want to go live somewhere and in a beautiful place and be isolated and just be on a beach. I just can't imagine retirement like that.
Yeah.
I have to be around people.
Yeah, me as well. And I'm planning on doing a lot of traveling, and this will come back to your specialty also, is that I think you nailed this, that retirement looks so different now than it used to be for our parents, that I just want to have the ability not only to travel, but to tour as well. And that means being healthy enough to go to Machu Picchu and actually climb it, swim places when I want to swim, hike when I want to hike. And I'm healthy enough at this age to do that now. Whereas I think that, you know, in this country, we're kind of forced into working until we're 65 or 70. And then before you know it, you're not healthy enough to do all that stuff. And you have to do it from a cruise ship. And I just want to do it before that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you're a healthy guy and you're fit. And I think that has changed as well. I think this idea that you get to 65 and everything in life changes. You leave work, you have this disassociation from your professional life,
kids are out of the house, you may have a disassociation from your personal life, you feel more infirm, more frail. I think that you would agree, Bert, that it doesn't have to be that way. Maintaining that health, maintaining that ability to do those types of things that you're talking about. You go to Machu Picchu, you'll probably see a lot of people in their 70s who are doing that now. That didn't used to be the case. I think the thing that I learned over the last 5 years that's been kind of revelatory for me is that when you think about all the things that go into making a good life, the importance of social connection, I think, always sort of got squeezed out.
Mm-hmm.
It was too squishy, too vague to really define. And yet maybe in part because of the pandemic, we recognized how important social connection was. When we didn't have it, I mean, it was awful for people, even for people who didn't necessarily consider them social, which was me. And it wasn't like I could quite figure out that I was missing it. And then all of a sudden, when I was immersed in it again, I loved it. So whatever it is in the next 10, 15 years, that social connection is as important for your overall health, I think, as anything else. And I think for a lot of people that goes away again, because family is not around as much, work colleagues are not around as much. Don't let that go. However you find it, you got to find it somehow.
That's great advice. Well, Sanjay, I mean, thank you so much for coming on all these years. I mean, it's always been an honor. I mean, we always had to kind of pinch ourselves like we're a stupid little morning show and the smartest man in the world is coming to join us and hang out.
You gave us credibility, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, please. I love you guys and I love being on the show. And, I think sometimes when you guys are in your bubble at the studio, you don't realize, maybe you do, but maybe you don't realize the impact you have. I drive to work. I'm at work. People talking about your show. If I do your show, so many random people would come up to me and say, I heard you on the Burt Show this morning. I mean, you guys leave a mark. And not just in terms of volume of listeners, but I think in terms of the types of conversations. I mean, I think that's the thing. I think, Burt, you and I start in 2001, I think, right? Roughly, you started here in Atlanta.
Yes.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
That's when I started here, and I remember thinking we started around the same time, and you know, kind of around the same age, and I just really I take great pride in the fact that I tell people that I know you, and then again when I do the show, just you know, young, old, men, women, random people in the hallways coming up to me and say, "Hey, John, the Burt Show today," you know, love the conversation, and I really that was very meaningful to me.
That is a huge honor, and they're probably hearing you in a way they don't get to around the halls of Grady or wherever.
That's right. Sometimes, you know, talking about pandemics and RFK and everything else that's going on in the world on the news, it's hard to have these types of conversations. So I appreciate you making it happen.
Oh, man. Thank you for all the compliments. Thank you for being a friend. And now I'm just going to show up on your doorstep, even like when I have a hangnail. Dude, can you take a look at this?
No. You have to think outside medical. He like, yo, man, you want to go do some golf frisbee?
Well, that's just frisbee a golf? Knock. You don't even know how to say it.
I don't even know what it is.
All right, Sanjay, we will talk soon, and I will see you face-to-face, and we will have those drinks soon.
Thanks for having me, bud.
All right, friend.
Good luck, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're on The Burt Show.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Epicor Profit 21 ERP. Purpose built for distributors. In sports, the best teams don't chase the scoreboard. They set the pace. And in distribution, pace matters. 60% of top distributors run on Epicor Profit 21 ERP. It's ERP purpose built for distribution, enhanced with agentic AI that doesn't just inform, but acts. Optimizing inventory, streamlining purchasing, and making every day easier. Don't play catch up. Visit epicor.com/win.
All right, so more superficially here, let's do what we really do best. Kristen and I got into a healthy debate earlier this morning, and it's one I wanted to stop and talk about here. I've told you guys over the last couple of weeks that there's a lot of stuff that comes up in the entertainment buzz that we need to talk about. It's headline stuff, but I sort of have to fake my way into some of the conversations now because they just don't, it feels a little superficial. This one, however, the last couple of days, I have really felt like very, very passionate about. And this is this D-bag Kevin Federline going off on Britney.
So I want to call out what I view as hypocrisy, right? I feel like there is hypocrisy happening when it comes to these interviews with Kevin Federline and these interviews with Kim Kardashian, okay? And I want to explain. And I'm not going to sit here and be like a Kevin Federline apologist, but I just want to, I want to keep it fair. And so you and I did get in this debate during a commercial break. And then that brain of yours is like, we need to talk about this all later.
The thing about the entertainment buzz that I do love is that it, in their lives, we get to talk about issues more broadly.
Yes.
That apply to everybody. And mm-hmm. in this case here, for me, you know, my passion is like co-parenting in a healthy way. And when I see it not happening in the celebrity world, it allows us to talk about it in the non-celebrity world. And I just see this really unhealthy situation developing.
So what we're seeing here, and to bring you up to speed, Kevin Federline has a memoir coming out and he's been doing like his PR tour. And Kim Kardashian just did the podcast Call Her Daddy. And so when it comes to, because when I'm looking at these two relationships, Kevin Federline and Britney Spears and Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, I am not a licensed medical profession, but it might be presumptuous of me to say, but I think it's fair to say that both Kevin Federline and Kim Kardashian have dealt with partners with mental illness. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha, Dr. Kristen.
Thank you.
I think anybody can see that. Right. We should have asked Sanjay.
I know,
we just
right?
had him on.
Yeah. So I just want to go ahead and play these clips. And this is Kevin Federline doing an interview with Entertainment Tonight, talking about his memoir.
My children are ready for me to tell my story because it's not just my story, right? This affects everybody in my family, my kids, my wife, even my ex. I'm really worried. I'm absolutely, as a father, terrified that one day I might wake up and my sons are going to have to deal with the unimaginable. I kind of have to sound the alarm that I truly feel that somehow, some way, I just wish that their mom would get help. What's going on now, and I'm not going to get into details because I'm not going to just expose her personal life, but it's 10 times worse than anything that I've said in my book.
He's the worst. Because if that truly is it, like I'm concerned about, mm-hmm. and I think we've all had these concerns about Britney mm-hmm. in watching her. I stopped following her on Instagram because it was like, I was enjoying watching the train wreck. It is a train wreck, and there is a good chance that someday we wake up and something unspeakable has happened to Britney Spears. If he was really concerned about it, then talk to your kids outside of a book and outside of an interview. That's healthy co-parenting.
Okay, so now we're going to go to Kim Kardashian's interview with Call Her Daddy, this is the particular portion where she's talking about co-parenting with Kanye West.
Can we talk about the state of you and Kanye's co-parenting relationship?
What do you think co-parenting with Kanye West is like?
It's not easy. I mean, I raise the kids, you know, full time. They live with me. I welcome a great, healthy relationship with my kids and their dad. He knows that. I push for it all the time, but I also protect them when it's time for that, and it goes in waves and phases. And I have the best memories and the best relationship, you know, with my dad. And even like, I love that, you know, I see Tristan puts, you know, their kids to bed every night and takes them to school every day when he's not, you know, in season. So I just welcome healthy relationships, but it's not easy.
When was the last time Kanye saw the kids?
Whenever he'll call for them. And ask, it's probably been a couple months since we've heard from him.
How do you handle, because it's all on you in those moments, the disappointment, if any, from the kids? Like, how do you explain those moments to them?
They always knew that he had a big life traveling before and was always on tour and all of that. So it's, you know, and that he lives in different countries all the time and loves to live all over the place. So, you know, we manage it really well. Like they love like their life, their routine and their schedule. And I think just their job as their mom is just to make sure that they stick to their routine and they're healthy and happy. And the one thing that just gets me is that there's this narrative that like I keep the kids, I've never once, you know, away from him. I've never once done that. Like, there's been so many times where I've been like, oh, I just want to show all of these texts. What are you talking about? Haven't heard. I begged them, you know, to go hang out or things like that. It's more of just the narrative that, like, I think it's all good and we're living our life. And then I just wake up and there's all these tweets about how I've kidnapped the kids. And I'm like, it's not a kidnapping. It's a divorce. Every time he is asked, I will always let them see their father. That's just who I am. You know, if there's a time where it's just really super unhealthy, I will, you know, say, hey, let's do it here at my house or let's do figure out a different time. But, you know, he lives in all these different countries and I send them and, you know, to Saudi Arabia and Italy and Japan and all over the world every time he asks. I've never once denied it.
I can't put my finger on why. I think Cassie tried to explain it off the air. Why? But it feels different to me. What she's saying and what he's saying and what he's doing feels different.
I think it's so nuanced. You could split hairs. For me personally, it's the fact that Kim is a celebrity and a figure in her own right. So being interviewed by someone, while I agree with Bert, like, I don't think you should say anything. It destroys co-parenting. But she's being interviewed by essentially a journalist about her life and yes, she does profit off it for sure, but versus Kevin Federline specifically speaking out in order to sell books.
Yeah, he's talking about stuff like she cheated on me with another woman, right? Mm-hmm. That's something your kids never need to know. It doesn't matter if they're 20 or 18, that she held a knife outside of their room while they slept. I'm not exactly sure why. Exposing those kind of details about the mother of your kids to me feels way more offensive than her answering questions on what it really looks like to co-parent with him.
Yeah, to me, these are two completely different situations because one person is in an interview where these questions happen to come up and she's just giving her honest response of like, this is just what it is. Whereas I think we just need to say exactly what Kevin Federline is doing, and he's realized that the money is running out from these child support payments and he wants to continue living to a certain standard. So here's this cash grab where he is going to, despite what he's saying, reveal details of Britney's personal life. And he's saying that he's concerned, but at the same time is doing something that could directly affect her mental health.
I guess when I look at it and having had people in my life who have, because I was trying to get to the why of why I'm trying to defend Kevin Federline and how I'm seeing this the same way. Like, this is two people who have divorced big time celebrities and they're sharing their story. And when you have a person with a mental illness that's not getting proper treatment in your life, it takes a toll on you, right? Mm-hmm. So when it takes a toll on you, I feel like he has every right to share his story. Kim has every right to share her story. And I understand protecting the kids. His kids are adults now. And I would hope that he had conversations with his sons about, because he said in the beginning, like, my boys are ready for me to share my side of the story. Whereas, you know, Kim and Kanye's kids are still fairly young. She has definitely said other things about Kanye West, like he has said about Britney Spears. So in this instance, I see this honestly as the exact same thing. At one point in time, Kim was just Paris Hilton's, you know, assistant, and she's established herself as Kim Kardashian, whereas I think Kevin Federline is trying to establish his own self. But I feel like they're both entitled. Yes, you should protect the kids, but they're also both entitled to share their side of the story.
I feel like he's spilling tea and she's defending herself as a co-parent.
I think, but also Britney Spears came out and spoke on about Kevin Federline and how he, like, the way the divorce was filed and everything.
Doesn't matter what one says as a co-parent, man. You got to take the high road, even if the other one's taking the low road.
And he has a history of cash grabs. I think that's what it is for me. It feels dirty because of the alleged history of K-Fed, and it makes me feel like his intentions are not genuine.
I think there's only one way out of this. Yep. Kevin Federline's got to do a sex tape, become the next Kim Kardashian.
Or not.
Get it? The Burt Show.
So today should be a celebration. Today should be a celebration of Personality Hires, the podcast that has our youth group doing a podcast of everything going on in their lives. We should be celebrating today. Why should we be celebrating, Abby?
Because we are in the top 30 comedy podcasts in the world.
I mean, that is... Cassie knows how to market. Good God, right?
Thank you. It's a team effort. And honestly, I can do all the marketing in the world, but if the content isn't good, it's not going to have any effect. So props to you guys for putting together a true You Made Me Laugh Out Loud show. And I'm the kind of person who sits at comedy shows and does not laugh out loud.
Well, think about how much higher we would rank if our content was actually good.
All right, so we should be celebrating this. So why are we in here with tension between all of you guys?
Because there's beef, and it's not between the personality hires. Messy Mikey and I are teaming up because we have beef with you guys.
With us.
Kristen.
Oh, okay.
Bert. Abby.
I can tell you this, that this won't end well for you guys.
I thought we were friends.
What am I even doing here, then?
Okay. You will be involved. Let me just add a little context. So, just inside Bert Show Baseball, this past Tuesday, Bert, you were supposed to go to jury duty.
Yes.
You were going to serve your country. You
serve your country.
As a patriot, yes.
On the front lines, baby.
Yes.
You shirked those responsibilities. Now the killer is going free, which is fine.
I postponed them until December 1st.
You did.
So the spree, the killing spree goes on until December 1st.
Yes, the murderer is on the loose because of you. That's fine. I don't care about that. What I care about is that there was going to be a youth group takeover with you gone at jury duty.
Right.
This idea was kind of floated around that the youth group, me, Mikey, Jackson, were going to come in and contribute in your stead just to like take up some space, give us some time with only a few shows left.
Okay, so let me tell you what the concept was because it was my idea. And I went to Kristen with it and I said, what do you think of the youth group joining you and Abby, who's now like straddling both sides here as hosting and as the youth group on the day that I'm out, just so we don't have to do another best of before I take off for retirement. She was down with it and I proposed it to all of you guys. Mm-hmm. So that was the game plan. If I was out, all you guys were going to do the show with Kristen.
And we were thrilled. We were so excited because we had done one before and it went pretty well. And it was really fun. We love to contribute. Everything was going well until Kristen emailed us. And I would like to read the email.
Read the email.
It says, to manage all the voices, the format will be Abby, Jackson, and me on mic full time. Rebecca will join us for e-buzzes. So, respectfully, are you guys on crack?
What do you mean?
Jackson literally came in here 2 days ago to talk about how listeners show up and tell him that they hate him.
Exactly.
They think he's a jerk.
Exactly.
And you guys want to give him the full-time spot? What are me and Mikey, chop liver?
Do you want to take this one, Kristen?
Yeah, sure. Radio 101, you need the person everybody hates.
Yeah. We have been missing a villain.
Yeah.
We've been missing a villain on the show for a while, and Jackson's not even good at it.
Exactly. He sucks. Me and Mikey are beloved. Mikey's funny in country. I'm funny and I had cancer. People love these things about us. We're pretty universally beloved.
Rebecca, with that logic, though, you're saying that I shouldn't be there. Then you guys didn't even get the call up. So what does that say about you guys? Like, it's a no-brainer.
This is the beef. I am questioning the strategy. Now I kind of understand the villain role, even though he sucks at that too.
We also need, not that I was in the decision-making process whatsoever, I was just CC'd. We also need a dude voice, to be fair. And Mikey's halfway there.
All right, listen, here's what it is we got that email. At least Rebecca gets to be on, what do you call it, e-buzz. I was just like, I guess I'll just sit in the back room.
No,
I don't know.
You didn't finish the rest of the email. What else
did I
write? I
send in ideas?
Yes.
That's what I do every day.
Exactly. I asked everybody to pitch ideas. It wasn't like everybody was going to get ousted and it was just going to be myself, Abby, and Jackson. I was like, no. And of course, Rebecca and Abby have this connection when it comes to e-buzz and talk about things that I'm not even privy to. So I'm like, absolutely perfect. And then I requested you guys, definitely want to have you on the air, but I need you to pitch like ideas to incorporate everybody. Because behind the scenes, corporate has said there's too many voices on this show and the listeners from the focus groups, they need more concise voices.
Right. And it's hard to manage when you have just managing like three or four people on the air is hard because I've listened to other morning shows and it scares me so much that we turn into that from time to time where everybody's talking over each other. There's laughter. You miss a line. So with each and every mic that is occupied, it becomes more and more crowded. So you have to put a cap on it.
You have to.
I hear you, Mr. and Mrs., but the thing is, we were sitting at BrewDog last weekend. We all met up on the Beltline, and I think Rebecca was a little bit angrier than I was. But it sounded like a funny idea to be like, oh, let's bring them on the air and get mad at them and say, why, we're better. And now that we're actually doing it, it's like, I have no confidence to say that I'm better than anybody in this room. It's crazy to be sitting here and acting like I'm good at this.
And you're self-aware.
Yes!
That I am. That's the one thing I am.
And I do appreciate that. All right, so Abby, tell them about Personality Hires and where they can listen to it. What's it all about?
So if you want to hear your favorite coworker's favorite podcast, where it's basically just a youth group, basically everything you heard just now, once a week, every Wednesday, the Personality Hires podcast, wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
The Bird Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
There is no shortage of famous bushes in this world. We have the burning bush Moses found in the Bible. We can't forget about George Bush Senior and Junior. Bush, the band, a British rock band, according to Google, that was famous in the 90s for songs like Glycerin and Machine Head.
According to Google.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Right. I had to Google famous bushes for this bit.
To Google?
According to Google.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. I'm not that old. You are just that disconnected.
Except from the 90s. I didn't have memory until 2001.
Gavin Rossdale was Gwen Stefani's ex-husband. I mean, you should at least know that lore.
And he was in Bush?
He was the lead singer of Bush.
He was deep in Bush.
The morning. And now...
And then Blake Shelton was.
And now we have a new famous Bush to add to this lineup, this prestigious lineup of Bushes, because Kim Kardashian has released a line of Skims-branded Ultimate Bush Micro String Thongs that is designed to replicate the look of pubic hair, something I have been trying to laser off for the last 7 months. You can buy for free. Over at skims.com.
Is this just like a novelty item that she's just hoping to get some people talking about it, but obviously not going to sell?
It sold out.
What?
Yeah.
So why?
It was kind of a bargain at $32.
They sold out.
So let me see what this thing looks like.
It's a thong that's got, it's a merkin. It's a merkin in a thong form is essentially what it is.
It's a thong that features faux hair in various colors and textures, aiming to challenge traditional beauty standards and spark conversation about natural body aesthetics.
I'm just trying to think where the need was for this.
There was no, I don't think there's a need, but maybe for those that have lasered off their hair down there and they want to feel like they have hair now. Ooh. And so, but yeah, I personally think it's,
it's nasty.
It's a gimmick. It's a novelty item. And because it's got Kim's name on it, then it's going to sell.
Dude, what is life?
But they sold out.
What is life right now?
We're living in a simulation.
And it's sold out.
Yeah.
What is this real?
This is, it's so real.
This is real life.
That's what's sad is this is so real.
Because I can see the pranks too. Like I can see you wearing this and like you're getting intimate with your man and all of a sudden he's like, whoa, there's a wildcat down there.
He starts flossing.
Like, what is that? And where did that come from?
Well, even though this is a shocking product, this is not the first time a celebrity has put out a product that makes you go,
Who's asking for this?
Well, I mean, you remember what she did with the bras that had the nipples, the prominent nipples in them.
They sold out too.
Yep.
I almost can see the desire for that because I'm like, okay, some people find that sexy. I don't really understand the point of putting a patch of pubic hair.
Don't get it.
Over your place, over your no-no square. But I figured I would share some of the other celebrity Hot Topic products that have really just made people go, why? In a quiz game, I'm calling... Who asked for that? That doesn't sound like game show bed, Tommy.
We've got till the 24th, bro.
No,
you can do this, man.
No, I'm telling you, this is in the game show. It somehow it got replaced. I'm present. It's called Funky Gardener.
Hang on. No.
No.
Now it's changed to our beds. It literally says Funky Gardener.
I set you up so well, Tommy.
The studio is ready for us to get
out. It's not my fault. It's this stupid-ass equipment this company buys.
Hang on. Let me try again. In a game I'm calling, who asked for that?
Game show bed's gone.
I'm telling you. Hang on. I got it on another page. Let me see.
Give me a heads up so I can do it.
I think we need clown car music.
Katie's got this.
All right, let me try.
Right. Wait. Ready? Yep. In a game I'm calling, who asked for that?
I don't know where it is. It's gone.
Okay. Well, looks like I'm going to do it a cappella. In a game I'm calling... Who asked for that? Question number one. Which of these was a real Paris Hilton product? Was it A, Pro Douche Feminine Wash? B, Diamond Infused Hair Gel? C, Edible Lip Balm Shaped Like Cupcakes? Or D, a Selfie Powdered Phone Charger?
One of those is actually real, isn't it?
One of those is real.
Holy moly.
Selfie powder. No, actually not that. Nah.
Oh, sorry. A Selfie Powered Phone Charger.
I'm going to say, you say lip balm, Cassie?
Yeah.
I'm going to say the diamond gel, hair gel.
I'm going to go with I don't care.
Well, none of you are correct because it was the Pro Douche Feminine Wash.
No, it was really? Not.
By Paris Hilton. Yep, it was released. I don't have it written down, but it's true because the internet said so.
Don't use that stuff, by the way. It's bad for your pH balance. Continue.
Question number two. Which of these was actually sold by Mr. T? Was it A, Snack Attack Potato Chips? B, gold-plated protein bars, C, muscle-building gum, or D, breakfast cereal shaped like mohawks.
Breakfast cereal shaped like mohawks.
Yeah, I think breakfast cereal.
None of you are right because it was the Snack Attack potato chips.
Huh.
Question number three. Jessica Simpson once released which real product? Was it A, chocolate-scented hairbrushes? Was it B, perfumed sneakers? Was it C, scented nail polish that smells like cupcakes? Or D, dessert beauty edible body fragrance lines?
C. It's either C or D.
Yeah, it's something edible.
B.
It is D, the dessert beauty edible body fragrance line. And the last question, which of these did Snoop Dogg actually sell? Was it A, cannabis flavored soda? Was it B, dog sled ice cream? Was it C, Snoop Dogg's hot dogs? Or was it D, rap themed barbecue sauce?
I'm going to say all of them.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, he does have his hands in a lot of things.
The trick question?
I'll go with A.
Okay, well, you're all sort of not right because it was C, Snoop Dogg's hot dogs.
Man.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, you found it?
How did you find this?
No, I just hit rejoin bed.
This is a bed.
Can you hit JoJo's?
It's just too little too late.
What a mess.
You're on The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.